Her smile widened, showing me her delicately pointed canines.
I am going to help you.
Yeah, this couldn't be good. I tried to keep my voice steady and calm. What do you mean?
Behold.
Mab gestured with her right hand, and the layer of snow on the ground stirred and moved until it had risen into a sculpture of a building about 18 inches high. It was like watching a sandcastle melt in reverse. I thought I recognized the building. Is that?
The building the Lady Knight asked you to examine,
confirmed Mab's surrogate voice. It's amazing what you can get used to if your daily allowance of bazaar is high enough.
As it was before the working that rent it asunder.
Other shapes began to form from the snow. Rather disconcertingly detailed shapes of cars rolled smoothly by beside the building, typical Chicago traffic, until one of them, an expensive town car, turned down the alley beside the building, the one I'd walked down not an hour before. I had to take a couple of steps to follow it as it came to a halt and stopped. The snow car's doors opened, and human shapes the size of old Star Wars action figures came hurrying out of the vehicle. I recognized them. The first was a flat-top, no-neck bruiser named Hendrix, Marcone's personal bodyguard and enforcer. His mother was a Kodiak bear, his father was an Abrams tank, and after he got out of the car, he reached back into it and came out with a light machine gun that he carried in one hand. While Hendrix was doing that, a woman got out of the other side of the car. Guard was tall, 6 feet or so, though Hendrix made her look petite. She wore a smart business suit with a long trench coat, and as I watched, she opened the car's trunk and removed a broadsword and an all-metal shield maybe 2 feet across. She passed her hand over the surface of the shield and then quickly covered it with a section of cloth that had apparently been cut to fit it. Both of them moved in a tense, precise, professionally concerned cadence. The third man out of the car was Marcone himself, a man of medium height and build, wearing a suit that cost more than my car, and he looked as relaxed and calm as he always did. Marcone was criminal scum, but I'll give the rat his due. He's got balls that drag the ground when he walks. Marcone's head whipped around abruptly, back down the alley the way they'd just come, though neither Hendrix nor guard reacted with a similar motion. He produced a gun with such speed that it almost seemed magical, and little puffs of frost blazed out from the muzzle of the snow-sculpted weapon. Hendrix reacted immediately, turning to bring that monster weapon to bear, and tiny motes of blue light flashed down the alley, representing tracer fire. Guard put her shield and her body between Marcone and whatever was at the end of the alley. They hurried into a side door of the building, one that had been destroyed in the collapse. Hendrix followed, still spraying bursts of fire down the alley. He, too, vanished into the building. Hell's bells, I breathed. Marcone was inside? Mab flicked her hand in a slashing gesture, and the top two-thirds of the little snow building disintegrated under a miniature Arctic gale. I was left with a cutaway image of the building's interior. Marcone and his bodyguards moved through the place like rats through a maze. They sprinted down a flight of stairs. At the bottom, Marcone stabbed at some kind of keypad with short, sharp, precise motions, and then looked up. Heavy sheets of what looked like steel fell into place at the top and bottom of the stairs simultaneously, and I could all but hear the ominous boom as they settled into place. Guard reached up and touched the center of the near door, and there was a flash of light bright enough to leave little spots in my vision. Then they hurried down a short hallway to another keypad and repeated the process. More doors, more flashes of light. Locking himself in, I muttered, frowning. Then I got it. Wards. Blast doors. It's a panic room. He built a panic room. Grimalkin made a low, lazy, yowling sound that I took for a murmur of agreement. My own apartment was set up with a similar set of protections, which I could invoke if absolutely necessary. Though granted, my setup was a little more Merlin and a little less Bond. But I had to wonder what the hell had rattled Marcone enough to send him scurrying for a deep hole. Then guard's head snapped up, looking directly at where Mab currently stood, as if the little snow sculpture could somehow see the titanic form of the Winter Queen looking down upon her.